All right, Muktzamachmas Isser. So, I could have used a different week to do this. Yeah, I have to admit, being still confused by some of the things that are said regarding Muktzamachmas Isser, but I think I have enough of a grasp to get through the basics of what Muktzamachmas Isser is, which types of Isserim we're talking about, some of the ins and outs. This, frankly, is more iyun than it is halacha, simply because, in general, when you deal with Muktzamachmas Isser, the answer is aser. And it's fairly straightforward. The only question is, how do we get there? You can sit here, that's fine. There are three different muktza situations which get identified as muktza machmas iser. Two of them correctly, one of them, I think, largely incorrectly. And I sent that out when I sent out the email about the topic at the beginning of the week. The main case of muktza machmas iser is an item that is prohibited from use at the time that Shabbos starts. Right? An item can be food, it can be a kli, it can be a whole bunch of things. But something that is prohibited from use at the time that Shabbos starts is called muktza machmas iser, even after the iser is gone. So even if during Shabbos something happens to take away that iser from the beginning, it's still aser. That's the idea of muktza machmas iser, essentially a version of nigo di iskatzoi. Nachon, benedin. I'm going to talk about Migo Diskatsoi more because my next topic is going to be buses. And so that's when we'll really get into Migo Diskatsoi, but it does come up all through this as well. That and Muktzah Hati Shabbos, that's all part of this discussion. Examples of this, if you take a look at Source Aleph from the Shulchan Aruch and Reish Ayin Tes, talking about a lamp that was burning when Shabbos started. Ner She'liku Bo Ba'osa Shabbos, which is a little bit of a vague term. What it means is a lamp that was burning when Shabbos started. Ava Pishakava, even after it is extinguished, Osir Latal Talo, you will not be allowed to handle it on Shabbos. V'chein Moser Hashem and Shebener She'liku Bo Ba'osa Shabbos, also leftover oil that was in a lamp that was burning when Shabbos started. Osir Latal Talo, you will not be allowed to use it. Ulistapik Menu Bo'osa Shabbos, you would not be allowed to use it on Shabbos. Good. That's an example. Another example, slightly more controversial, but I brought it, is in Beis from Arachaim Shin Ches, shot in his clothing. The argument will be that it would be Muktza, again, Muktza Machmas Isser. So this is the only type of Muktza where the phrase Muktza Machmas Isser is actually used. The Gemara in Shabbos Mamdalad, the Gemara in Shabbos Kufnun Zayin, dealing with oil from the candles, the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, Parak HaLach Yud Beis, Chavav Yud Dalad, Mishnah Berurah used it in Reish Ayin Tes Aleph. That's what Muktza Machmas Isser is. Second type is, bless you, items that we're not allowed to use on Shabbos because using them might lead us to violate an Isser. Rav Simcha Bunim Kohn calls that Muktza Machmas Isser on pages 29 to 31 of his book, the Blue Book. Example of this, cases of wet clothing, where if I carry the clothing, I might come to do schita, I might come to squeeze it out. If you take a look at Gimel, I brought you from the Shulchan Aruch, Bgadim Ashurim B'mayim, clothing that got soaked in water, Aslu Nagvam Samuch La'esh, don't dry it out near the fire, that's a separate concern, that's a bishul issue. And then the Rama writes, V'asu L'tal Talam, no handling them, Shema Yavalu De Schita, because that could cause you to squeeze it out, V'hushem Makbid Al Meimav, assuming that you actually care about the water, which is its own discussion. Another example in Source Dalid, from Aruch Chaim Shin Ches, is kelim that broke, which you might come to fix if you start handling the kli on Shabbos.
Question about Gimel. Once they've dried out, as clothes are dry,
then they'll move Muktza Machmas Isser.
But here it just says, Shema, you're going to come to be.
Right, correct. Nonetheless, we're now saying Asa Tatlam all through. Asa Tatlam all through Shabbos. That's the point. It's Muktza Machmas Isser because it was Asa when Shabbos started, and therefore it retains the Isser all through Shabbos, even if they dry out. We're going to talk about that more if I get
to. Particular halacha. The Isser is Shema Yavali Beis Chita.
But that's why it was also a Taltel when Shabbos started. After that, it retains the Isser because of not the, I don't want to use the phrase Migo Diskatsoi because that colors what we're doing. What I want to use is the phrase Muktza Machmas Isser because that's really the heading for it, even though you're right that, as I said before to Yaron, Migo Diskatsoi is a part of this conversation.
Right, okay.
I want to make sure not to confuse the two. Now, the one caveat in the case that Ari asks about is, what if you knew before Shabbos that it was going to get dry during Shabbos? And so that's something that we have to get to How far we're going to get with that, I don't know, but that is in my notes. Correct. That is definitely part of the shear. The clothing part, maybe not, because that's category two, but for sure, Moshe Shem and Shemaneir from category one is a central part of our conversation. Then you have a third category that Rabbi Ribiad brings in Chelek Aleph, pages 48, 49, that he thinks is Moksa Machmas Isser. Items which only became available to you because an Isser was done. So in other words, you're not allowed to squeeze juice out of a fruit on Shabbos, assuming any case in which you're not allowed to squeeze juice out of a fruit on Shabbos. If you squeeze the juice, that's Moksa Machmas Isser. He also brings the Shatnez case. So he references for you Shulchan Aruch in Arachayim Shinchav Aleph in source Hay, the case over there. I am entirely perplexed because the case over there, number one, is not about juice that you squeezed on Shabbos. It's about juice that came out on its own. It's not. There's no discussion there about juice that you squeezed out. That's number one. Number two, he references for you sources Vav and Zayin, Shulchan Aruch Harav and the Chayei Adam, and neither of them say this either. Neither of them say this is Moksa Machmas Isser. The only justification I can find for his categorization as Moksa Machmas Isser is to say the following: if an item became available because of an Isser, then maybe it was subject to that Isser when Shabbos started, and therefore it was really in category one. So in other words, juice that was squeezed out of a fruit illegally on Shabbos was Usser for me to squeeze out when Shabbos began, and therefore it was in the first category of Muktzeh Machmas Isser. But that's such a wrap your arm around your head to scratch your other ear that I don't understand this formulation, and it doesn't fit his language. That doesn't fit the language. I don't understand what he was talking about.
Source.
Yeah, I don't understand. It's not in the Shulchan Aruch Harav. It's not in the Chayei Adam, and I don't know what he was doing. But he mentions it, so I'm telling you now. There is somebody who calls it this, and there is a way, sort of, to say that this makes sense. Okay, but let's get to the heart of it. I want to talk through category one here, the item that was usher when Shabbos started. How does something become Muktzeh Machmas Isser? What does that mean? So the simple explanation is, and this goes back to the email Rabbi Yaris that we exchanged. If you don't intend to use the item on Shabbos, because there was an Isser against doing so when Shabbos started, it remains Muktzeh all through Shabbos, even after the Isser is gone, which makes it essentially Muktzeh Machmas Gufo. Right? Everyone likes the Mishnah Berurah's introduction to Shin Ches, where he gives you the breakdown of different categories of Muktzeh. But it's not really the Mishnah Berurah, it's really the Beis Yosef who invented that. But it's not really the Beis Yosef either. The predecessor for that is actually a Tshuva of the Rosh. In source Ches, I brought you the relevant piece from the Tshuva. He says, "V'inyan Muktzeh yesh arba dinin." There are basically four principles here in Muktzeh. Hamin Rishon, your first kind of Muktzeh, Dabar Muktzeh Machmas Gufo, right? Eitzim, Avanim, and so on. Right? That which is Muktzeh, because it has no function, She'ein Lam Taras Kli. Hamin HaSheni, the second thing, Davar Muktzeh Machmas Isuro, Muktzeh Machmas Isser. And he gives you the example, the lamp that was burning when Shabbos started, the Truma Tzmeya, Tevel, that which is connected to the ground, Ben HaShmashos. And then he says, after going through the categories, Shnei HaMuktzim HaRishonim, the first two, meaning Gufo and Isser, Shei Muktzeh Machmas Gufo and Kavanim, Kiyotzim, Davar Muktzeh Machmas Isuro, Din Echad Lohem, V'Shaved Dinehem. It's essentially the same principle. That's the way that he looks at it. Our primary case in the Gemara is indeed the case of Moser Shemin Shabiner. If you flip the page, source test, Shabbos Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. Mishnah says, Metaltlin Ner Chadash Avalo Yashan. That's a separate discussion of the Machmas Mius. Right, that we spent a couple of weeks on that. We pretend we know it now. Rabbi Shimon Omer Kolan Ner is Metaltlin Chutzman Ner Adolik B'Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon says you're allowed to move any lamp except one that is actually burning. That's why he added the words in brackets. B'Shashu Daluk. When it's actually burning, you're not allowed to move it. And that's a separate discussion. Is that a Muktzeh issue? Is that Shema Yichva? Whatever you're going to say there. Gemara Tanu Rabbanan. The Braisa then says, Tanakama, Rabbi Yehuda says, Metalva Ner Chadash Avalo Yashan. You can move the new one, not an old one. That's the Mias discussion. Rabbi Meir Omer, Kol HaNeris Metalva Ner Chutzman HaNer Sheliku Bo B'Shabbos. Rabbi Meir says, you are not allowed to move a lamp if it was burning when Shabbos started. And Rabbi Shimon Omer, Chutzman HaNer HaDolek B'Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon says, as he said in the Mishnah, only while it is lit, but kavsa, once it goes out, mutter l'taltala, you'll be allowed to move it. Except aval kos ukara v'ashashis lo yizize mimikomam. He says, if you have a cup that's holding oil for your lamp, if you have a big dish that's holding oil for your lamp, if you have an ashashis, which is a lantern of some kind, again, large receptacle for oil, lo yizize mimikomam, you may not move them even after the lamp has gone out. The Gemara then asks about this brisa. What's the deal with these three items? Why is Rabbi Shimon say mukta? Aval kos ukara v'ashashis lo yizize mimikomam maishnahani. So the Gemara ends up saying, "V'chi kashari Rabbi Shimon b'ner zuta d'daite ilave." Rabbi Shimon allows the oil if you're dealing with a small lamp. That's a small dish of not a small lamp, really, it's a small wick is really the point. So the that's where Rabbi Shimon says mutter. If it is a small lamp, and the point is, he knows that the wick is going to burn down. And therefore, the oil will be available. Avohani dinafishi, but these are very large. Lo, then he does not allow it. To which the Gemara asks, but I have a brisa that says, "Vatanya Moser Hashem and Shabnevi Shabakara Aser Rabbi Shimon Matir." Rabbi Shimon says the oil is mutter. No, hasam kara dumi dinair. Ha kara dumi dekos. Depends on the size of the dish. That's the issue. Smaller dish is going to be aser. Smaller dish is going to be mutter. Larger dish is going to be aser. That's Rabbi Shimon's position. Okay. The point is that with a larger one and a larger wick, you expected that it would remain burning for the entire day. Are we clear on that? Does that make sense? I'm asking because I went to sleep way too late last night and got up way too early, and therefore I could be saying gibberish and I wouldn't know. So, okay. The bottom line out of this brisa is that both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon accept a version of Mukta Machmas Isser. But Rabbi Shimon believes that the status of Mukta Machmas Isser really depends on what your intent is when Shabbos begins. Do you expect to be able to use it or not? Rabbi Meir is saying flat. It was under an issue when Shabbos started. Issue remains. Which is more like the Migo de Iskatzoi, essentially. Rabbi Shimon is saying, not so fast. It depends on what you were thinking. Your own thought.
I think that we learned about Rabbi Shimon that it's not the issue what you think. Rabbi Shimon don't believe that if you think, for example, you need an example for the dishes for Pesach.
Right.
According to Rabbi Shimon, it's going to be okay to use it. Because that. It's not the only issue that what you think or what you are going to do. It's an idea, it's not only.
L'shitat Rabbi Shimon,
זה באמת
תלוי במחשבה שלך.
לא, לא רק במחשבה שלך, בגלל זה הוא עושה את זה.
לא, הוא אומר לך שאסור, אלא אם כן, ברור לך שיהיה לך משהו שנשאר. אם ברור לך שיהיה משהו שנשאר.
כי זה לא תלוי במחשבה שלך. יש משהו חיצוני עליך.
ירון, חכה שנדבר על תנאי ואם כאלה, נראה שלאו דווקא. יעקב, what are you going to say? So we have to talk about that question. What exactly does this mean? There are two ways you can look at this. One way you can look at it is he was madchet, he actually rejected it from you. The other way to look at it is he didn't plan to use it. So we're going to talk about that. We have to get to that.
It's a general approach about Mishima to minimize muktzah.
Oh yeah, I mean, for sure he is giving you a narrow definition of muktzah, narrow application of muktzah. The other key gemara to see that gives you an example of this, we referenced it already from the Rush, is source Yud, Gemara in Beitza. Nachmi Shehivi Daron Yisrael B'Yom Tov. A non-Jew brings you a present on Yom Tov. Im Yesh Me Oso Amin B'Mechuber Asur. If he brings you some kind of vegetation, and at this time of year that stuff is normally connected to the ground, and so you assume he picked it for you on Yom Tov, Asur. Olerav Nami Asur B'Chdei Shiyasu, and then now you have to wait B'Chdei Shiyasu. That's a separate discussion. V'im Ein Me Oso Amin B'Mechuber. However, if nothing is of that is really in season to be planted in the ground, you can assume that he was getting it from somewhere else. Tochat chum, that's a separate discussion as well, and it comes for one Jew, it's mutter for the other Jew, also not our point right now. But the point is that again we're saying if the plants were mechuber when Yom Tov started, they're muktzah machmas iser. That's the way we look at it. So, the first question. If you're talking about a kli, right, we included kli as part of this, how does it become muktzah machmas iser? It should be kli shemlachta l'iser. If you have a kli you're not allowed to use, it's kli shemlachta l'iser. Right? What is this? What are you doing with muktzah machmas iser? So I found the following idea in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, which then I went looking for a citation for it and I couldn't find it again, but I know that it's there. And what he says is this: if a kli loses its kli, if a kli is aser all the time, not just on Shabbos, but there's an iser on the kli in general, like the shatnez clothing type of a case, it's no longer called a kli. And therefore, it's not kli shemachta the iser, but instead it's mukta machmas iser. And the reason why it matters to migrate it from one category to the other is the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch and Yud Aleph and Yud Beis. It's more clear in the Shulchan Aruch than it is in the Rambam. So take a look at Yud Beis. The Shulchan Aruch writes, "Ner zeh she'amarnu she'aser l'tal t'lo, afilu tzarech gufo l'tzarech mekomo aser." Shulchan Aruch tells you that when you're dealing with muktza machmas iser as opposed to kli shemlachto l'iser, you're not even allowed to move it l'tzarech gufo l'tzarech mekomo. Why? Because it's not a kli at all. That's the significance of migrating it from kli shemachta l'iser to muktza machmas iser. Now he does note for you, yesh mi shehitir. There is a view that says you're allowed to move it. Let's talk gufo l'tzarech mekomo. V'lan yirud devarav. I don't like it. What is he talking about? The answer is he's talking about the position of the Mordechai as well as the Agur. The Mordechai is Shabbos Shin Tesvav. The Agur Tafnun Dalit is quoting the Rid. They're both quoted in the Beis Yosef, if you want to take the easy route. But the Beis Yosef is quoted in the Taz, which is the even easier route. Take a look at Sorsi Gimel. This is the food chain. The Taz comments on Veloniru Devarav, and he explains the whole thing. Beis Yosef Nosan Tam Lama Lama Hani Kan Tzorach Gufo Umakomo Kmo B'Shar Kelim. The Beis Yosef explains why Tzorach Gufo Tzorach Mekomo doesn't work here, as it does for other Kelim. This is what he wrote. V'Taima Mishum Dekli Shemlachto Le'Isser Lo Is Katzoi Lebein Hashmashos. He says, because Migo Dis Katzoi won't apply to a Kli Shemlachto Le'Isser, Sharei Hayom Mutter Letatlo Tzorach Gufo Umakomo. Because in fact, at the time when Shabbos started, you were allowed to move it. Aval Ner Sheliku Bo Bein Hashmashos. But if you have a lamp that was burning when Shabbos started, you would not have had to move it even because you're not allowed to move a lamp that is lit. It's under buses that we're not going to allow to, which is its own discussion that I have to get to when we have shir on buses. But he says that's the Beis Yosef's argument for why I am not allowed to move a muktzah machmas iser, because it didn't have a heter of gufo makoma when the day began. But then the Taz says, Imishumha, if that's your reasoning, ain iser ladas bala trumos. And the bala trumos will disagree. Because he says you don't generate a busis unless you intended when you put it down for it to be there all Shabbos long. You require active intent. He says that's not an issue for us because we intend to move the candlesticks off the table. When they're done burning Friday night, that's what we do. We move the candlesticks off the table. We're careful about that. Lo nasa basis ledavar ha'aser ledavar iser. Nimsa davidino kishocheach. And therefore, we would treat it not like somebody who put it there planning for it to be there, but like somebody who put something down on Friday and forgot that it was there when Shabbos started. Velo iskasei lekule yoma. Umutu letarach gufu umakoma ach shakava. Va'osa na poskim shemevi beis Yosef shenira mehem sha'aser afil letarach gufu umakomo. Nira shehem adabir b'meniach haner b'makom she'ein daito b'vaday lahasiromi shamachar akibui. So he says, in that case, the poskim the Beis Yosef quotes, who say usur to move muktzah machmas iser, even tzarach gufo tzarach mekomo, must be talking about where you put something there, planning to leave it there. In other words, the Taz says there's no machlokes. The Taz says, in fact, those who say you're not allowed to move muktzah machmas iser are right, and those who say you are allowed to move muktzah machmas iser, tzarach gufo tzarach mekomo, not in general, but are correct. The ones who say you're not allowed to are talking about where you had intended the item to be there when Shabbos started. The ones that Mutter are talking about where you had not intended it to be there. And that's what he says. Valpiza Nirolisha Ain Machlokis Badavar Kamoshakasa Bes Yosef Mordechai Vaguda Matirim. Dein Badarim Ba'ovim Shabbada Mechavin Litalam Bisham Achara. Layalav Lonasa Basis Klal. That's the remarkable position that the Taz takes. Nonetheless, we don't paskin this way. He's going to a lot of effort to justify a view that we say we don't follow. But that seems to be what happens in Muktzeh Machmas Isser. Everybody spends a lot of time trying to understand things like what did Rabbi Shimon mean, even though we don't paskin like Rabbi Shimon on Muktzeh Machmas Isser. So this is par for the course. There is, though, a practical benefit to understanding Rabbi Shimon's position. Why? Because we're going to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, but we need Rabbi Shimon in order to understand what Rabbi Yehuda said. In other words, I'm going to know Rabbi Shimon says X, and therefore I'm going to know Rabbi Yehuda is stricter than X. But I need to know what it was that Rabbi Shimon said, because Rabbi Yehuda is not clear about what he is oser and not oser. And you'll see what I mean right now. But what we have so far is the idea that if it was oser when Shabbos started, it remains oser beyond a kli. Remains Usr, not as a Klisha Machmas Isr, but as a Muktzeh Machmas Isr. That's the principle that we work with. And you may not move it, let's talk Gufo, you may not move it, let's talk Makomo. Yes?
I think Klisha Machmas Isr, I remember there was a discussion about if the Kli does not have an ability to be Heter, it's not a Klisha Machmas Isr, or it's a Klisha Machmas Isr that's not Muktzeh Machmas Isr, Gufo, Makomo.
Which essentially is the same thing.
Right.
Yes.
But it was a bit fuzzy there.
Yes. So the answer is that is Muktzeh Machmas Isr.
Right.
That's right. Okay. So the practical benefit of Rabbi Shimon's position, as I said, is to show us what Rabbi Yehuda is thinking. Rabbi Shimon does seem to apply Muktzeh Machmas Isser in certain cases. Right? We already saw Shabbos Mem Dalet, in which he was willing to apply it where you had the large the Koz Hashashis and Ka'ara. And Beit Alamed Amud Beis. If you take a look at source Yud Dalet, Tanya Rabbi Chia Bar Yosef Kamei Rabbi Yochanan, A Notlin Eitzim in Asuka Elamin Asamuchla. Right, the classic passage in which we don't know what kind of sukkah we're talking about. The Rabbi Chia Bar Yosef says, you're not allowed to take wood from a sukkah proper on Yom Tov. We're not talking here about a sukkah of Yom Tov, but we're talking about a hut. That's all. It's a hut. So you're not allowed to take wood from the hut that it is part of on Yom Tov. You have to take from whatever is next to it. Rabbi Shimon matir, and Rabbi Shimon says no. Rabbi Shimon says you are allowed to take wood from the hut itself. Everybody agrees if it is a sukkah of the mitzvah. Now it's Muktzeh Machmas Mitzvah, it's Asur. If you make it tonight, all is good. So we have to talk about tonight. We're not talking about tonight right now. But the Gemara asks, Rabbi Shimon Matir, how can Rabbi Shimon let me take wood from a hut? What are you talking about? He's knocking down an ohel. That's Oser. What?
So what would a Tanai help?
Yeah, forget that. He said in the opening part, not even Tanai. Tanai was on Sukkah Sachag B'chag. Rabbi Shimon Matir on taking from the Sukkah. Before you ever got to Tanai.
No, 100%.
So...
Okay, go ahead.
So Amar of Nachum Bar Yitzchak, Hacha Besukah Nofeles. He says, what we're talking about, as I explained in brackets, is a sukkah that already fell. You're not breaking the sukkah. Rabbi Shimon L'tameh, the Lesle Muktzah. And Rabbi Shimon is within his view that he does not accept Muktzah, Titania, Moser, Shimon, Shabbanev, Shakar, Asa, Rabbi Shimon, Matir. To which the Gemara says, no, Midami, how can you compare the two? Hasam Adam Yoshev, Umitzapeh, Masaiti, Kavanero. In the lamp case, he's sitting there anticipating this is going to go out. Right, like the question in the beginning of this year, he anticipates it's going to go out, and therefore it doesn't become muktzah. How many people put up a hut planning? Yes, this is going to go down, and then I can use the wood. Right? What are you talking about? So I'm Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak. Hacha besukah reuah. Skidam demei esmol daite ilave. Yeah, this is a sukkah that in fact had been condemned. This is a sukkah that was already in a condition where you knew this is going to deteriorate. It's going to collapse. And you really just looking at it as an opportunity, you're going to get the wood when it collapses. I don't think this is a good idea in general to have around, just a public service announcement. But I'm pretty sure this is under, Avla. You can't have a rotten ladder in your house, you can't have all sorts of dangerous things. You probably shouldn't have a bad hut either. Yes, this is true. Al Tashkin Balecha Avla, sorry. So Rabbi Shimon here does accept Muktzeh Machmas Isser. Right? Sukkah ra'ua, he says. If the sukkah was in a condition where you expected it to fall down, then fine. You're allowed to use the wood once it collapses. But that means that if it's sukkah bria, right? If it's a normal sukkah, not in sukkah, normal hut, then he will recognize Muktzah Masisr. So Rabbi Shimon does accept Muktzah Masisr. The problem is Shabbos Kuf Nun Zayin. Source Tezvot. Pligi bar Rav Acha v'Ravina. Rav Acha and Ravina had the following machlokas. Chad Omar b'chol Shabbos kula halacha k'Rabbi Shimon levarmi muktzah masmiyus. First view is that the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon in the laws of Shabbos except muktzah masmiyus. So ma'ini u'nir yashan, the old lamp. The Chad Omar b'muktzah masmiyus nami halacha k'Rabbi Shimon, and the other one says no. There also we follow Rabbi Shimon levarmi muktzah masisur except for muktzah masisur. U'ma'ini u'nir. And what is that? Ner shaliku babosa Shabbos, the lamp that was burning when Shabbos started. So you're telling me we pass them like Rabbi Yehuda to prohibit Muktzah Machmas Yisr. It sounds like that means that Rabbi Shimon believes that Muktzah Machmas Yisr is Mutter. No? Hello? I don't need to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda if Rabbi Shimon agrees. Obviously there is a machlokas here, and Rabbi Shimon does not accept something that Rabbi Yehuda prohibits. There's also a Tosfos in Shabbos Membeis that's like this. The Mishnah in Shabbos, Membeis Amud Aleph, I brought you the daf, or Membeis Amud Beis, I should say, I brought you the daf, as well as the Mishnah number. Ein nosin kli tachas haner lekabel boas hashemen. You're not allowed to put a dish under a lamp in order to catch the oil if it's dripping on Shabbos. That's the Bichol Kli Me'achano discussion. Vim nasanu amigba'od yom mutter. However, if you put it there before Shabbos, mutter. To leave it there. They neosin mimenu, you're not allowed to use that oil, because it wasn't ready for use when Shabbos started. That's the Mishnah. On that, Tosfos comments in Yud Zayin, they neosin mimenu, lefisheinu min amuchon. Ikala okma k'rabi shimon, dematir moser shemen shabaner. He says, when it says you're not allowed to use it because it's not min amuchon, he says, this could actually be the view of Rabbi Shimon, who normally permits the leftover oil. When it says here, don't use the oil, that means specifically, while the lamp is burning. Don't use the oil, because that's, mechabe. But other than that, Rabbi Shimon would permit. Well, if I accept Tosfos that Rabbi Shimon would permit use of the oil, that means, again, Rabbi Shimon doesn't believe in Muktzah Machmas Isser. So I have my problem laid out. On the one hand, I have Shabbos Mem Dalid that we saw regarding the Kos and Ashashis, which shows that Rabbi Shimon accepts a limited version of Muktzah Machmas Yisr. And I have the discussion about the Sukkah, where Rabbi Shimon is willing to take wood from the hut that has collapsed if it was a Sukkah Ru'uwa. So Rabbi Shimon does accept some level of Muktzah Machmas Yisr. On the other hand, I have Shabbos Kuf Nun Zayin that says we've passed him like Rabbi Yehuda to prohibit Muktzah Machmas Yisr flat. And I have a Tosfos who seems to say that Rabbi Shimon does not believe in Muktzah Machmas Yisr. So I think the answer is the following, and I saw something like this in an article by Rabbi Baruch Shulman as well on YU Torah, that Rabbi Shimon believes in Muktzah Machmas Yisr if you don't anticipate being able to use the item. That's when he believes in Muktzah Machmas Yisr. If you don't anticipate being able to use it, then Rabbi Shimon says, Aser. So like the Sukkah Bria, right? The strong Sukkah will be an example of that. That means that Rabbi Yehuda, who's going to be stricter than Rabbi Shimon, is going to apply Muktzah Machmas Yisr, even where you think you're going to be able to use it. Even if it's a Sukkah Ra'uah, it doesn't make a difference. He's still going to apply Muktzah Machmas Yisr. That's what this is instructing me. The Rabbi Yehuda is going to apply it across the board, even where there's reason to think that I'd be able to still use it. And indeed, that's the position that the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah take. So the Shulchan Aruch we already saw back in the beginning of the Shir, right? That was Reishayim Tes Aleph. It said that you may not use the lamp, and it. Sorry. You reproduced it. Oh, I did. I was so tired. Okay, you're right. Yuchas also. That depends on your sukkah ru'uah, doesn't it? you haven't seen my sukkah ru'uah. In a chanami, but the definition of sukkah ru'uah now would have to mean one that you really do anticipate is going to come down
within 24 hours.
Yes. the in Toronto weather. So it's going to snow, and yes, it's going to come down. So the so in Yud Ches, there you see it. The Shulchan Aruch writes, "Near Shaliku Babosah Shabbos Afishakava Asur B'Taltalo." He does not make any distinction about the size of the receptacle of oil, and indeed. The Mishnah Berurah says that there as well. Ditto, if you flip the page, source you test, talking about the wood from the hut. The Shulchan Aruch says, "No lemeitzim asmuch ledafnei asukah masikin bahen." You are allowed to take from wood that was next to the sukkah and use that on Yom Tov. And the Mishnah Berurah writes in source Chaf, "Vida dechol eitzim sha'aser litla min asukah bein atzeischach udefanos atzman bein osin shetas valein is balu imon dot dot dot." The part that I wanted to see is the middle of it. Va'afilu haisa sukkah ra'uah me'erev yom tov omedes lipol. Even if it was a sukkah ra'uah and it was going to collapse, mikol makom bechnisas yom tov e efshar hayalo lelakhan machmas tiras binyan. You couldn't take it when yom tov started because it would be destroying it, demolishing it. Umitoch shenesruaz nesru kol hayom. So we paskin like Rav Yehuda and we apply muktzah machmas iser across the board. Clear? Okay, what if you don't actively decide, I am not going to use it? You just don't intend to use it. This goes back to the question of what exactly constitutes kavana here. So if you actively reject it from use, everybody's going to say muktzah machmas isur. I've seen this attributed to the Ramban, although I hunted high and low in his Machamos and Perush on Shas, and I couldn't find it, but I've seen that view brought in Ramban explaining Rabbi Shimon's view on Shabbos Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. Why is he willing to accept Muktzah Machmas Isser at all? Because you like the thing by hand. What could be more of a demonstration that you intend not to use it on Shabbos than burnt light, you know, lighting something on fire when Shabbos is about to start? So that shows that you intended it. This is supported also in the Gemara in Chulin Yudalim at Beis to Tezvav Amad Aleph, which I also did not bring you on the sheet. But the Gemara there talks about the following case. Somebody is very ill on Shabbos, and he has a nice doctor. And the doctor says, you want him to get better, give him a hamburger. Give him some good raw meat. This is the way doctors used to be, when doctors were doctors. So the rule is, you shech the meat. You shech the animal, and you provide him with a burger. But the question then becomes, is the meat muktzah for everybody? Because it was machmas, it was hachas and iser. When Shabbos started, you wouldn't have been allowed to do a shechita. So is that meat muktzah machmas iser? And there in that Gemara, we suggest no. A live animal is not considered muktzah machmas iser, because he didn't actively reject it from use. This can also be made to fit. Using this as your standard, did you actively reject it from use or not, can also be fit in with the Gemara Beitza that we quoted before about Mechubar. This is a problem Gemara. We said that which was connected to the ground when Shabbos started, when Yom Tov started, was the case in Beitza. If it was connected to the ground when Yom Tov started, it's now Muktzah. Right? The non-Jew brought you the gift that was Minah Mechubar, it is now Muktzah. If your standard really is, it's only Muktzah Machmas Iser if I actively rejected it. I didn't actively reject all the plants in the world. What do you mean? However, take a look at Rashi. Rashi in source Chaf Aleph. Im yesh me'oso amin b'mechubar asurin mishum muktzah. Va'afilu Rabbi Shimon yesh muktzah b'grogos v'tzimukin. U'mechubar k'grogos v'tzimukin dami. He says this will be like grogos v'tzimukin which have no function. Why? Midelo lichton me'esmol. Since you didn't collect them yesterday, aktsinu midaite. You actively said, I am not going to use them. And therefore, even though this is the non-Jew stuff, and he lives a mile away, it doesn't make a difference. Mechubar across the board is going to be muktzah machmas iser because you don't pick yours, and therefore mechubar in general is going to be viewed in that way. So that's one school of thought associated with Ramban, is to say muktzah machmas iser is if you actively reject this item from use or its class from use, like in the case of mechubar. The other take, though, is associated with the Baal HaMor. And just like I couldn't find the Ramban, I couldn't find the Baal HaMor either. But everyone says that Rashi Levi says this. And that's to say, if I only lack kavana to use it, okay, not I actively rejected it. I simply didn't have kavana to use it. Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, Muktzah Machmas Iser. Rabbi Shimon's view is subject to machlokes. But some say Rabbi Shimon will break with Mukta Machmas Isser here. He'll say, if it's only that I didn't intend to use it, it's not so. That's the Baal HaMor explaining Rabbi Shimon from Shabbos Mem Daled regarding the lamp. That's his take. Lack of kavana is already sufficient to make it mukta. That's the idea. As opposed to, if a person expects to use it, then it's not mukta. And this fits very well the case of mechubar. Right? This fits a lot more easily the case of the plants that were connected to the ground when Shabbos started. When Yom Tov started. Why are they mukta? Because I didn't anticipate using them. But then I go back to the Chulin Gemara. Why isn't a live animal Mukta Machmas Isser? Why shouldn't a live animal be Mukta Machmas Isser? Now I don't understand. You told me, right, this is the problem of a back-to-back shear. You told me that the meat from the live animal is not Mukta, right? So if the standard to make something Mukta Machmas Isser is that you actively rejected it, I understand that I didn't actively reject this animal. But if the standard is only non-intent to use it, I didn't intend to use the meat from the animal. So there is this Rashba who presents an idea that is relevant for Mukta Machmas Isser in a few different ways. Take a look at source Chav Beis. The Rashba writes on that Gemara in Chulin. V'im Tomar, you might ask, Mikomakom, Kevan de Islay Mukta Rabbi Yehuda, since Rabbi Yehuda believes in Mukta Machmas Isser, Hayach Efshalomar de Lesley Hay Mukta, how could he not say this meat is Mukta? Shere Al Karchan B'Shav Bezulo, Aysa Mukhenes La Adam, Kevan de Isser Shchita Rachavala. Right? It was also to Shechtet. So he quotes you that the Abaye, who's the one speaking here, De'ein mukta ela masha makta ha'adam midaito, v'haktsas behema b'chayeha eina ba'a midas ha'adam, ela da'arya di isura rachiv alei. He says, the answer is because this was not off limits to you in the sense of, I don't want to use it. And it was a usable item. It's just that the Torah says, don't do shechita. If the reason for the Isser is an external, for the Isser of the item is an external thing, well, and once that Isser goes away, you're allowed to use it. Your intent is considered to be to use it as soon as the lion goes away. That's his argument. So you could justify Chulin for this view. So the bottom line out of this subsection here is this. You have one view that says that actively rejecting it from use is what generates Mukta Machmas Isser. And then you have the other view that's going to say lack of kavanah to use it is what generates the Isser. But keep in mind that both of these are going to be within Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, these points are going to be within Rabbi Yehuda. Within Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda is going to say it's all Isser. Intent, no intent, intent not to use it, or lack of intent to use it. Either way, he's going to say that it's Mukta Machmas Isser. Here's a question though. What if I could end the Isser myself? What we call Gomro Bidei Adam. What if I have it in my capacity to end the state of its non-usability? We have a principle of Gomro Bidei Adam in Mukta Machmas Gufo. Right? Grogros and Simokin. Raisins dried figs and dried grapes. I can say words. If you take a look at source Chav Gimel, Amar Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira says, Tashma mi polin va'adashim. He wants to bring you a proof in that discussion from beans and lentils. Da polin va'adashim me karachazulakus. In the beginning, you're able to chew these beans when they're still raw. You could chew them and eat them. Shadinu bikadera atchulu. You throw them in a pot. Now they're not edible. They're in a hot pot, right? Until they're done cooking. And yet they're mutter afterwards. So Amale Abaye, Abaye says, well, according to you, what are you asking me about beans for? Tikshala kederas de alma, that's any food. Duh. Stan kederas de alma bin ashmashas rot choshein. Right? You know what you do, right? Friday afternoon, some period of time before Shabbos, you take all the food that you've cooked for Shabbos, you put it on the stove, in the oven, whatever you do, in order to get it really hot. You turn everything off before Shabbos, and then when you come home from shul, you'll have food that you can eat. He means the food that's in the pot. So he says, Bein Ashmashos, your food is burning hot. Ul'urta achlinam minayu. But that night you get to eat it. Why didn't you say it was Muktzah when Shabbos started? It was like Grogros V'Timokin. Not Muktzah Machmas Yisr. He means the food.
I don't get it. But every Hachana has that.
Yeah, what do you mean?
Like, that's the whole point of Hachana. That you prepare.
Yeah. But his point is that if you're taking a snapshot of what things are like when Shabbos starts, right, then all this food that's hot the moment Shabbos starts is now Muktzah. That's his argument. Ella gomro bidei adam lo kamabayalan. Ki kamabayalan gomro bidei shamayim. To which he answers, this is different from Grogos v'tzimokin. We're not talking about the case in which you could eliminate the Muktzah status at any moment. Meaning, take it off the heat, and it's going to be fine. Right? It's going to be edible. So therefore, that's not subject to Muktzah Grogos v'tzimokin, Muktzah Machmas Gufo. Not only that, but Gomor Bidei Adam includes not only where you could end the Muktzah state, but also where naturally the Muktzah state will end in a foreseeable way. The Levushei Strad makes this point on the Taz, and many do. Mishabura brings it also in Shin Yud Yates. But I brought you this Levushei Strad because I had it open in front of me in Soros Chav Dalet. He says, Al Karchach Lav Davka Piresh Debi Yado Letak No. Doesn't mean literally, as it was stated, that it's where you could fix it. The Ben Hashmashos who wrote Tayach, because right now it's boiling hot, right? They didn't have freezers. The Enbiyadol Atakno Az. You can't do anything that's going to suddenly make this food edible. Ella Karchach Rotzalomar Kevan Adibari Sheyutu Kanmeatzmo. Since it's clear that the thing will be edible, wait half an hour and it'll cool off. Mikri Gomro Bidei Adam. That's also called Gomro Bidei Adam. That's the principle, not regarding Muktzah Machmas Yisr now. We're on the Grogos V'Tzimokin discussion. Adam, you had a question or are you distracted? Okay. So the question is, can you apply that to Muktzah Machmas Yisr? If the Yisr is going to end, can you say that the item never becomes Muktzah in the first place? And not only in the first place, but even, what I mean is, even when the Yisr condition actually exists, it will not be called Muktzah Machmas Yisr. That's the implication of Rashi. If you take a look at Rashi in Chaf Ches Chaf Tes, I told you I wasn't going to deal with this case, but I actually ended up finding a way to work it in. What if you have a Bechor that is born with a Muh, but it wasn't shown to a Chacham before Yom Tov? So the Gemara in Beit HaChavav Mebeiz over on Chav Zayin Amad Aleph, in source Chav Ches, says Vishavin, everybody agrees, Shem Nolad Hu Umumo Imo Shezemin Amuchan. Everybody agrees that this is. Oh, you know what I did? Hang on, did I jump past? I jumped. Sorry. I'm not sure why I did it this way, but sorry, don't do that. Go back to Chav Hey. I jumped to Bechor. What I wanted is Rashi on Beit Zachav Zayin. I got very excited about Bechor. Rashi here is commenting on the Gomer Bidei Adam regarding the pots. He says, Ela mita de Gomer Bidei Adam lokum abayalan. De kaven de biado letakno bo bayom, since you could be metakin it that day, lo makse le midaite mibne de chiaso. You are not makse it by putting it on the stove. Don't bring me any proofs from the beans. And that's why we permit the food that was in those pots that was very happy in Ashmashos. But the idea is, and this is what I wanted to show you from Rashi, is that it's never Muktzah. Even when it's in the state that is not usable, it is not Muktzah. The Chazanish says this as well, but I didn't want to retype it. But the Chazanish is in Moed Mem Aleph Tet Zayin. If you have the Chazanish Moed PDF, it's page 126 of the PDF. He says this outright, noting that otherwise you would have to tell me that my pot that's hot at the moment Shabbos starts is Muktzah while it's still hot. And he says it's just nonsense, it's not true. And so what we're saying is this, if the item becomes Muktzah when Shabbos starts, then Gomor Bidei Adam doesn't help you. It's too late. However, if the item doesn't become Muktzah when Shabbos starts, it won't retain that Muktzah status. It won't gain the Muktzah status, I should say. How does the item become Muktzah when Shabbos starts? In a case of Dechia B'Yadayim. Tosfos talks about this. It's the Tosfos that I brought you in Chava, but in the interest of time, I'm going to just...
Can't.
נכון. כיוון שזה, אתה שואל על הגבורות בסימוקים למעשה.
כן, אם
המערב
לא מוכן,
אז אין בעיה, אבל כיוון שזה מערב בנדוסאי זה כבר מוכן.
לא, אני אומר, אבל יש כאלה שכן יש בעיה, זאת אומרת ש... אני
שם את זה
בעצם שהוא כמעט
שמושע
כמו
חוב סורגו, כן?
כן,
זה יותר ממאכל בנדרסני. הם לא אוכלים את זה, אבל הם יכולים לאכול את זה, זה כבר נקרא אוכל. אולי לא בשבילם, אבל זה נקרא אוכל כבר, כיוון שזה מאכל בנדרסני. חוץ מרבי זירין מזכיר שיש עניין של קדרחייתא. יש את ההיתר הזה שכיוון שלא יהיה מוכן עד ארוחת צהריים מחר, אז מותר לשים את זה לפני שבת. והוא מותר להשעותו. שאלה מעניינת, אם זה לא נקרא, למה זה לא גרוע בסימוקים? אולי גומרו בידי אדם.
This may be a crazy question, but everything seems to be analyzed from Muchsa. Why isn't it analyzed from the point of view of Hachana? Why?
What do you mean?
Why are the questions not freeing in is this Hachana or not? Is this proper prep? What did you do? What were you thinking when you were prepping?
Because prep won't help me if the thing is usher when Shabbos starts. Preparation of an item isn't going to help me if it's usher when Shabbos starts, right? That's the point. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda is telling me, I can do whatever I want with this oil. I can pick the oil that I want to be able to use on Shabbos and set it all up, you know, so that it'll flow from there into my pot and everything else. It doesn't matter. If you lit this thing on Friday, right? Then when Shabbos starts, it becomes Muktzeh Machmas Isser. Your Hachana didn't do anything for you. Yeah. We are going to talk about Tnai. Assuming I can keep my head straight on it. But yes. So the Gomer Bidei Adam point that we're trying to make here is that Gomer Bidei Adam eliminates the Muktzeh status from the beginning. However, if you are Madcha B'Yadayim, if you reject it from use actively, then Gomer Bidei Adam won't help. That's the Tosfos in Shabbos in Source Chavav, the second Ba'odan Olav on the Daf. They talks about if you set up a basket for chicks to walk on right before Shabbos starts. So we say Gomer Bidei Adam doesn't help, even though you could pull it away on Shabbos. Why? Because you set it up with intent for the chicks to be on it, Ben Ashmashos. Similarly, the Levushei Strad asks the question, which I brought you in Chav Zayin. He doesn't understand if your lamp goes out, where we say there's Migo Diskatsoi, but why don't I say that if it was clear that it was going to go out on Shabbos, it's Gomer Bidei Adam, right? Not that you could pull it away on Shabbos, but it's the natural Gomro which counts as Gomer Bidei Adam. He asks that question. Right? But now you can answer the question. It's because you lit it. You were madcha it. So can Gomer Bidei Adam work for Muktzeh Machmas Isser? And the answer is, three times I'll say yes, and twice I will say no. Meaning, there are three cases that make it seem like the answer is yes. The Gomer Bidei Adam will help to eliminate Muktzeh Machmas Isser. Number one is the Gemara in Beitzah on the Baal Mum, in Source Chav Ches, which says that, Im Nolaru Mumam Imov was born before Yantif, and it had a Mum, that's called Muchan. So that tells me that you should be allowed to use it. Sorry. That tells me that the fact that you are able to show it to the expert on Yom Tov means it won't be Muktzeh Machmas Isser. That's one. The Isser would have been the Isser Shlita. Not the Isser Shlita. This is Yom Tov. Yeah, being because it was a bechor that hadn't been shown. Yeah, not shvita. Okay, the second one is the Rush. The Rush talks about flour. I brought you the Rush in Source Chavtes. He says flour is not Muktzeh Machmas Isser, even though you're not allowed to be lush and to make your bread with it. Why? Because a non-Jew would be able to use it to bake on the following day. There are other issues that have to be addressed, nolad issues, whatever, that you have to deal with. But he says there's no issue of Muktzeh Machmas Isser for it. Why? Because Gomer Bidei Adam. And then the third case, which I don't have a source for even, but it was I saw an article where somebody quoted it. Oh, what was his name? Rabbi Yeshua Itamar, in an article in Moriah called Kolei Heter Muktzah Shagamru Bidei Adam. So so he said, look, you're allowed to salt meat on Yom Tov and eat the meat. But that's also a case in which it was usher when Yom Tov started. It had blood in it. But the answer is clearly that Gomer Bidei Adam works. However, I have two cases where it doesn't. One was the Levushei Srod's note about the candle that's going to go out. Right? We don't say Gomer Bidei Adam works. And the other is the Mechubar that was brought as a gift by the non-Jew. So what am I going to do? So perhaps the answer is, and I'm not sure this is what Rabbi Tamar means in his article, but it's what I mean, and it fits the cases, that where there is an issur against doing the tikkun itself, like picking it, for example, or putting out the lamp, gomer bidei adam doesn't help. It may be gomer bidei adam, you could do that, but you're not allowed to. Because halacha requires that your mitziyah dies from it. Whereas where the way it's going to be finished is not usur, I'm allowed to show this to the chacham. The non-Jew can, the non-Jew can bake the flour. It's baking for himself, not baking for me. The
also
right, but that's not what we're saying. Gomer bidei adam is gomer bidei adam. There is for me to let the lamp burn out, not having a non-Jew do it. It's not saying gomer bidei adam because a non-Jew can do it. Because then you're right, a whole bunch of things become both there. But I think that's the distinction to make. Halacha requires you to be mesiyak dat from it. I'm not quite clear on how I would square this with that Rashba that we saw earlier about Aryehu de Revi Ale, with the animal that hadn't been shafted. That I'm not sure what I would do with. Rabbi Tamar in that article has his own mahalach, I think, where he talks about external Isser and Isser from the matzav, but I didn't think it applied. I didn't like his answer terribly much. Alright, we're running out of time, so we want to do at least one last point on this, even though there are a couple of other points to see. But let me see what we can do. What if I make a t'nai that I'm going to use it? You know what, I'm going to short circuit the t'nai discussion, because in the end the psak is simple. But the Gemara in Beitza Daf Lamed about the hut and the wood from the hut brings in the idea that t'nai could work. Right? That you might be able to accept t'nai for Muktzah Machmas Isser. So there, we have a machlokas about whether it'll work only for a sukkah re'ua, or even for a sukkah that was able to stand. When it comes to a lamp, we have a machlokas we shown him. Tosfo says that t'nai works for a sukkah re'ua, but it doesn't work for a lamp, because you rejected the lamp outright from use. Even if you say, I'm planning on using the oil, you lit the thing on fire. So you can't use a t'nai. Your t'nai is useless.
But a sukkah that's not re'ua...
But a sukkah that's not re'uah, he also won't accept it. But a sukkah re'uah, he'll accept it because you expect it to go out. The sukkah and the lamp are analogous.
Right.
You expect the sukkah to collapse, you expect the lamp. However, the sukkah you built long before, Tosfos says.
And with the lamp, you're doing a maaseh chiyah.
Right, correct. With the lamp, you're doing a maaseh in actuality, right before Shabbos. If you take a look at Lamed Aleph, he makes that point at the end of the Tosfos, you actually did it ben ashmashos to the lamp. The sukkah, the alma, you made mizman gadol. That's Tosfos' distinction. Ramban is credited with saying that tonight does work for a lamp. As a matter of psak, the Shulchan Aruch in Reish Ayin Tes Dalet approves t'nai for a lamp. If you thought this is going to go out and I want to use the oil, you're allowed to. And the Ramah says, yeah, we don't do that. When it comes to sukkah, the Shulchan Aruch does not mention t'nai at all. Whether it's a sukkah bria, sukkah re'ua, he mentions nothing about t'nai. Bless you. The Bir Halacha quotes a view that says that he didn't mention it regarding sukkah because he already mentioned it regarding lamp, and he just assumed you would understand that it should apply to sukkah as well. He brings such a view. And then the Bir Halacha says, you can't do that. There are too many Rishonim who don't like the idea of t'nai when it comes to sukkah, even sukkah re'ua. And as a matter of psak, he says, don't use t'nai. The only heter that he has for t'nai is maybe if a non-Jew is now going to move it based on the t'nai that you made. Maybe then. But other than that, they don't want you using t'nai. Last point. We're not going to get back to category two. I apologize. The items that the use of which could lead to Isser, there were a couple of notes I was going to make on it, but don't worry about it. If you go online, Rabbi Leibowitz, his shir on Muktzah Machmas Isser, he spends a lot of time on category two. He really likes category two. He doesn't even focus on category one. But the Isser that generates Muktzah Machmas Isser, when you say something becomes a mukta machmas isser if it was subject to an isser when Shabbos started, what kind of isser do you mean? So this takes us back to Gemara in Beit Sadaf Lamed Aleph in Source Lamed Aleph, which says if you had a house that was filled with produce but sealed up, you had no way in, and then a crack developed in the wall, you're allowed to take produce from that crack. Why don't I say it's mukta machmas isser? So Rashi says that in the Gemara, I'm short-circuiting all the sources, but you can see them on the sheet. Rashi says that in the Gemara we say, this is talking about a house that did not have any mortar in the walls, and therefore it's only an issur d'rabbanan for you to crack it open. Since it's only an issur d'rabbanan, therefore it doesn't become mukta machmas isser. Tosfos says, I don't know what you're talking about. In that case, there's no such thing as buses, because buses is buses for a mukta item, but mukta is only a derabanan. So Tosfos argues, Tosfos thinks that buses is part of mukta machmas isser. So Tosfos says that can't be, and indeed no one paskins like Rashi. We say an isser derabanan can generate mukta machmas isser. Tosfos' answer is that this whole discussion about the house that had the produce in it is like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon rejects mukta machmas isser in most cases. So therefore, it won't apply here. Only by the lamp, that's your matcha biyadayim, whatever, that's Tosfos' answer. Others disagree with Tosfos on this as well. I'm not going into that right now. The Baal HaMor says it's where the wall was already deteriorating. It's like the sukkah re'uah. And you made it tonight before Shabbos. That's the sheet of the Baal HaMor in general. The Ramban says, and this is brought in the Ram, this is brought in the Magid Mishnah, and this will be the position of Mishnah Berurah, that the issue here is there's nothing wrong with the produce. The produce is usable. If there's an external condition that's making it not usable. This isn't like oil that's on fire. The grain, the produce inside the house is fine. The problem is I can't get to it. However, and then because of that, I should say, it's only viewed as an external prohibition, and therefore ein daito alei, and therefore it's not ein daito aleihen, it is daito alav. He does in fact want it. This goes back to our idea about external isurim. But that's Ramban's position. In practice, and this is what I meant when I said in the beginning, we have all these even discussions, and then everybody says aser anyway. The Mishnah Berurah comes along, and I brought it for you. It's in the Be'er Halacha in Lamed Gimel. The Mishnah Berurah sides with the Ramban. And he says you're allowed to use the produce and you're allowed to use items which are only usher due to an external factor. The Mishnah Berurah is in Tavkuf Yud Ches Mem He. However, in the Bir Halacha, he backtracks. And he says no. Number one, many we showed him, he says, side with Rashi's explanation. That the reason why this is okay is because this is the Rabbanan. And number two, he says the Ramban himself offers multiple answers in his comment. And therefore, he says you should only go with the Ramban in the Shas Hadchak if you're actually stuck. But otherwise, he does not want you to say, "Well, there was an external factor that generated the Isser." He's not comfortable with that. So the upshot is, if something was Usser when Shabbos started, it is likely Usser even after the Isser ends under Mukta Machmas Isser. That is certainly Rabbi Yehuda, if not Rabbi Shimon. The one possible hetter that we try to come up with would be, what if it was Gomer Bidei Adam, right? Then you can make the argument that it did not become Mukta in the first place. Potentially, you can make that argument of Gomer Bidei Adam working on your behalf. And when it comes to Tanai, we really don't want you to use it. And the idea of the externalizer also, we really don't want you to use it. We pick up with this, God willing, next week. Do we have a midweek shiur this week?
We didn't schedule one.
We did not schedule a midweek shiur this week. So the next shiur is going to be next Friday.